Today's TMS is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. And by HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com, sending you amazing recipes and food from real chefs. Just go to HelloFresh.com and see what they're making this week and have it sent straight to your door in farm-fresh ingredients ready to be made. Want to save a little money? Use MORNINGSTREAM at checkout to save 50% off your first order at HelloFresh.com. Coming up on TMS, we look back at 1996.
Ben and Jerry smoke weed every day. Should that be weed?
It should be weed.
Okay. Smoke weed every day.
I'm an idiot. Independence Day 2 is happening.
MTV Movie Awards are still a thing.
Avengers gets a new trailer.
Yeah, it does. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Look at that girl. So very pretty, a misty happening has happened to me. Misty happening,
misty happening.
By Proctor Silex.
Misty, new portable hair dryer from Proctor Silex.
Watch your profanity.
The Morning Stream, shoving hobos and sucking the cheese since 2011.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is TMS for Thursday, March 5th, 2015. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Hello there.
Hey,
Scott.
Man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm a little better now. A little better now.
Little technical difficulties, you know, most of the people listening to the show won't know about it because...
Yeah, we won't bore them too much with it, but my internet went down this morning and I didn't know why, and I was in the middle
of 8 minutes before the start of the show.
Yeah, which I guess is better than right at the time when we normally start, but still, you have to take the smaller blessings, sure. I was on the phone with Comcast Business trying to get support right when it came back up, so I'm just fingers crossed, hoping everything sticks and everything's fine. Should be. There's a reason I pay for this thick pipe. And
it's not for the free pipe cleaners.
No. Although, did you see that picture that guy put on Twitter yesterday?
Yes.
Of an actual pipe cleaner for real pipes that look like a pipe cleaner? That was crazy.
Like, that's what I was describing, too. Is like, oh, that would be awesome if they made ginormous pipe cleaners. And sure enough, they do.
And the look on his face, like, look what I got. He's like holding it up like he's all proud of it. That was pretty awesome.
That was great.
Anyway, thanks for all the continued participation in that way, listeners. We love that. All right, we're going to get right to it today. There's something, I can smell it. You can feel it in the room. There's an elephant in the room. Once in a while, things we do in our past, they come back. They haunt us a little bit. They spring from nowhere. And yesterday, Brian sent me maybe one of the most delightful things I've ever seen in my life. And it was like some sort of corporate video taken in 1996, featuring the one and only Brian Ibbett in a couple of key scenes. Give us some background on this thing. What the hell was this?
So this was the company that I worked for. This was a company called Media Marketing. Mm-hmm. And we were going through a transition. We were going through a switch from our old name, which was a product called the Ad Director. We were switching to a thing called Immediate with the word media, bold.
Immediate.
Right. Immediate.
All right.
Right. And so we decided we were going to do this video that we would send out, that we would actually give out at the trade show, the Nexpo, which is the newspaper expo trade show.
Hold on. Nexpo?
Nexpo. Short for newspaper expo.
That's
this
amazing.
Is like a whole different life than I have now. It really is.
I love it though, because it's such a 90s thing. The whole thing just reeks of early 90s.
It really does.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing was going to be how, you know, we were going to add a bunch of new products, a new suite of products to the software that was going to make it so that users could generate their proposals, their PowerPoint presentations on the fly, that they could do insertion orders and creative direction and stuff like that. And it's funny, there's a scene in there that shows like the software main menu, which has these five faces going across it, all the different pieces of software in the suite. And to this day, item number one and item number five, face number one and face number five, never got developed. Like those products never, ever materialized. We made mock-ups for this video. We like did, you know, just enough to so that they could put it on camera and show what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And nope, never happened.
I wondered, you know, actually it's pretty good though. Like props for making it seem like the software was kind of done.
Sure.
You know, it looked finished to me.
So we all got invited into the office on a Saturday morning. And we were told what we were going to be doing. Yeah. And they said, all right, so we're going to be shooting this video. We've got a script worked out, you know, show up in a suit and you show up. And you know, Tina came with me just as kind of a lark. You know, she just wanted to see what was going on.
So she didn't even know she was going to get roped into being in it.
No. Time. And here's why. So there's one scene at the beginning where Tina's talking to another woman and she says, yeah, I can get that information to you and I'll touch base with you next week. And the woman that she's talking to at the time was the VP's wife, a woman named Katrina. And Katrina was going to have all these lines. She was going to be in all different parts of the video. Well, it turned out once we saw the actress who was going to be playing the kind of the hero of the day rep, and she was the only actress involved. Like everybody else was employees and friends and wives of employees, et cetera. But this woman that you see throughout, basically all the monochrome shots of the woman walking through, was this actress named Tia.
Yeah.
And once we saw Tia, we said, well, I guess we can't really use Katrina because they have a very similar look to them, to each other, right? They both got the olive skin, the short brown hair. People are going to get confused if we have Katrina doing some of this stuff. And then Tia is the hero of the day rep, the fully automated rep.
Right.
So then they said, well, Katrina, you're out. Tina, you're in.
Ah.
And they all like immediately put Tina in place. And Tina had to learn all these lines and learn all this stuff.
Yeah.
But watching this video, I forgot about all these goofy things like Dan Dutre's mullet, his spectacular mullet.
Spectacular is not even a strong enough word. It is so awesome.
It is a boss mullet.
It needed its own like IT department just to keep that thing up and running, man.
Yes.
What a beast.
And the sunburned guy that you see that's working in the health club that she's talking to, there's a guy named Rob. He's actually the guy who posted these videos. He found them. And there's this video. There's another video I'm going to link to that I do all the behind the camera work. I was the cinematographer and film editor for this one. So it wasn't me, but that's going to be another one for another day. But anyway, you see him in the scene where he's talking in the health club in the fitness room and talking to Tia, the automated rep. And she says something like, oh, what do you think of this set? And he goes, oh yeah, I like that one. And for like what's longer than what seems like a brief second, like it just lingers a little bit too long.
Yeah.
He stares at her chest as the image fades out. There's a lot of weird like...
It's kind of dark, dude. It's a little sinister. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. You know, there's the great, you know, PowerBook. What was it, like a PowerBook 400 or something?
Yeah, old.
Hooked up to a StarTAC flip phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and her slow motion. Like slow motion taking the phone and just laying it in its place. And it's all blue lighting and dark. And I expected freaking Mulder or Scully to pop out and say, I believe, or I want to believe.
Neo is going to pop out of there or something at some point and start talking to Morpheus.
Right. All that stuff's fine and good, but these images of you in 1996 with a full coif of hair,
yes,
doing your business. I have clips, dude. I want to play them.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right. So here's Brian in his first lines. He's in a suit, by the way. This is so badass.
Brian in a suit.
Yeah, Brian in a suit. This is a very youthful, in his 20s, Brian, talking about some whatever the hell preprint figures are. But here you go. I'm gonna play this for you.
I think Circulation can give me those preprint figures. I'll check with them and I'll get back to you.
Well, I'll see if I can get some information for you.
I'll get back to you.
I freaking love it, dude. I love it. We got this right around dinner time when I started looking at it, and everybody's gathered around the table, the kids and Kim and I, and we just put this on my iPhone 6 and laid it out in front of everybody, not knowing anything about what you sent. I had no idea what was going on. You just had said, hey, don't put this on social media yet. You need to watch it first. So I watched it, and we were in freaking stitches, because at first we didn't know what was going on. I'm like, well, this is cheesy. He probably just wants me to capture this for like a commercial thing.
It's just like some sort of 90s computer video. What the heck?
Yeah, we've shown a tendency to like those on this show. And so then Brian pops in with that line about the preprint figures, and I just about lost it. I had a mouthful of food. I think I kind of horked some of it up all over the place. And then your other line, which is my favorite bit. This is you. I want to paint a visual picture here, and you can correct me if you think I get any of this wrong, but it's Brian in an office showing the wrong way or the current way that this might go down versus the automated rep person.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's funny because in normal infomercials, this would be the black and white bit, and Tia would be in color.
Right, and you'd be flipping a tray around and spilling it all over yourself or something in black and white. But, you're in this office, you're in the suit, you're like across the desk from somebody and their phone, you know, all their stuff is on their desk. Right. And you say this, I'll just give you the line here. Here we go, right here.
The new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I can use your phone.
Now, the best part is the way you do, the way you're overturing toward his phone.
Yeah, it's like, can I get your
hands just inching over to the phone and picking it up ever so slightly? I was dying.
That took so many freaking takes. Really? I remember that thing taking like 30, 25, 30 takes because you're like, all right, let's do one where you're a little bit more confident. Okay, let's do one where you're a little bit more unsure. And they just wanted like 20 different versions of me reaching for the phone. Yeah. It was the line I always got, like the line was always nailed. The line never changed, like the way I delivered it. Mm. But it was always that, phone, and like sometimes I'd start going for the phone earlier, sometimes it would be like, if I can use your phone, and then I'd wait a beat and then grab for the phone.
That was the best part, because the person behind the desk doesn't say anything, and it's like this like creepy, it created this creepy feeling of like, he's talking to no one over there.
That's exactly, and there was nobody over there. I mean, I was looking basically off camera, like just slightly off camera, I think,
to make it look like you're looking at a dude. Hey, is this the redheaded guy? Hold on.
Oh, that one looks good. I like that one.
Is that?
Yes. That's Rob Carmody. So the other video, by the way, and I'll link to this one today, is Rob Carmody's Survivor audition. So first season of Survivor, Richard Hatch wins. Oh, great, great. And it's funny, is the CEO of our company actually applied to be on Survivor 2 and made it through, I think, a first round of interviews and didn't go any further.
All right.
Rob decided he wanted to go for it. And Rob would have been great on the show. He would have been great on Survivor. Mm. And so we put together a Survivor audition video to send out to people. And, you know, here, if you want to find it now, you don't want to find it now because you're watching, you're listening to TMS. But if you want to find it later, you can go to the other video, the media marketing video that I'm in, and then just go to that person. You'll see the other video that we posted.
Oh, it's linked up there. Okay.
Yeah. And that thing is a cheese fest of iMovie special effects wizardry from 2002. But it also features Tina, and it also, for a very brief scene, it features a 4-year-old Tristan.
Oh my, weird.
Yes, yes.
I got to watch that.
You'll have to watch that later, yes.
Yeah, because this would all have been that era, I guess, when you had just a little kid.
Exactly. So I'll post, the video we're looking at now, or this 1996 one, was it was pre-Tristan, but very close. Like, we might have gone home from the video shoot and conceived Tristan that night. It could have been right around there. Because it was, I remember it being like, there we go. TV Zegon found the Survivor audition video and posted in the chat room.
Are you kidding me?
I remember it being, well, no, you know what? Tina might have been already pregnant with Tristan during the filming of this. Because it was late 1996 and Tristan was born in February 1997. So
I also really like the VHS hum behind both these videos. Like, listen right here, you can hear it. You hear that? And that's the video. This is the audition. Oh, he went all like James Bond on this.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I just love the cheese that's going on and all of this stuff, man.
It is
Amazing.
It is 100% cheese on that audition video.
I'm trying to see if I can skip ahead and find. Oh yeah, there he is. Look how young he is.
Yeah.
And the hair on you. Hold on.
That's Tristan. That's Tristan right there in the up to the right, just swinging the protest sign for whatever reason in the grass.
That's amazing. Oh, that's great. You know, he looks kind of like he's built to do. Oh, this hot tub scene. Goodness.
Yeah.
He looks a bit like built to take the Survivor challenge. You know, like he could have done it.
Yeah, he's one of the very few people still in that group that still from that company that I talk to on a fairly regular basis.
I like that they're protesting out in the middle of nowhere.
right, exactly. We're going to just show up and protest in a field. Oh, then we're going to counter protest in that very same field.
That's awesome. That is amazing. Holy crap, he's made my day. These things are so funny to me. And this has led me to want to go. I'm in a bunch of crappy local computer commercials from the 90s,
really?
About the same era. Yeah, like 95, 96. I need to go find those and transfer them because they're real bad. This is amazing, dude. And forever now, forever, we have things like this.
I think Circulation can give me those preprint figures. I'll check with them and I'll get back to you.
Talk to Circulation.
Okay, call me back. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Can I use your phone? Incredible, dude. Incredible.
Call the Clip Club.
A reminder, speaking of which, you want to go to Nerdtacular, tickets are a precious few. So go get them. We've capped it this year like we always do, and I'm terrified that people that want to go aren't going to get to come because they're going so fast. So nerdtacular.com for details. You know the drill. If you want to come, be there. Hang out with us in July. End of July, early August. And let's have some fun. All right? All right.
Yes.
Let's call Daryl. Get this train going here. Oh, man, what an awesome thing that was.
Yeah.
So glad.
And it's funny because I had completely forgotten about that. If I had remembered it sooner, I probably would have grabbed a copy of it and put it up on YouTube first.
So what was the story behind them? Did they just find it? Or was it just we have this. We forgot we had it, and they just posted it?
No, Rob has been holding on to this for a while because every once in a while, you know, when we're together, he'll say, you know, I still have that video of that commercial we showed. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And
now he holds it over your head for real.
No, exactly.
That's amazing. Who knew? I mean, now better than ever, a perfect time to release such a thing to the audience. We have amazing fans who can't wait to see you in this way.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. To make things equal, I'll find my old news clip on YouTube, wherever it is. Someone on the chat room can find it, where they refer to me as Scott Peterson, wife murderer, instead of Scott Johnson, my actual name. That's always a good time.
God.
Yeah, I know it's bad. I'll show it to you here in a minute. Somebody find that. TV's Egon, you're pretty good at this. Go dig that up. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Tom Merritt's producer Jenny Josephson has a storytelling podcast called Tell It Anyway. Three people, three stories, all centered around one topic. They're the kind of stories you tell at a great party or out at a pub. The latest episode features three stories about summer camp. Check it out at tellitanyway.com.
It's really good. I can tell you I've heard it, and it's awesome. And Jenny is rad, and we already like her anyway, but now this is even better.
That sounds fantastic. What a great idea for a show.
Yeah, it's a really good good deal. Plus, Jenny's just awesome, and people should support her. All right, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say about her. When you listen to DTNS, she's like 90% of why it's rad. Tell Tom I said that. Don't tell him.
Behind the scenes,
yeah.
But totally rad. Tom.
Happy birthday, by the way, to Justin Robert Young today. Forgot to mention at the top of the show. Happy birthday, Jury. Hope it's rad, and hope you, I don't know, what does Jury want for his birthday?
A razor.
Yeah. I wish you could gift Hearthstone cards, because he's so into it right now, I would totally buy him some cards, but they don't let you do that, unfortunately.
Can you send him a toy Hearthstone table?
There's a fine idea.
In WoW? Oh, he doesn't play WoW, so what would he do with that?
He would, Well, he may just think it's for Hearthstone and be happy with it. I don't know.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
But he doesn't play WoW, so...
Oh, he wouldn't see it. Right. That's a good point.
He'd never be able to open it.
All right. How about a real one? Like, let's make him a real... Actually, here's what we'll do. You see, I don't know if you've seen these online, but somebody made a bunch of Hearthstone boxes, like the actual... I think Mark Spagnuolo made one, too. The little fake box that's in the game.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, with the turny, twisty middle and the lit up, like, LED Hearthstone logo and all that.
Yeah.
Get him one of those. That'll only cost $600 or $700.
Yeah, exactly. Let's all pitch in.
We'll think of something fun for him. Anyway, Daryl's on the line. Hi, Daryl. How you doing?
Hello.
Good.
It's not only Drury's birthday, and happy birthday to him. It's Violet's birthday.
Oh, cute.
Happy 5th.
Yeah.
Weird. Did you know when she entered this world that she would share a birthday with one hairy man, Justin Robert Young?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
All right.
I knew that the whole time.
Think about it this way. How old is she?
Five.
All right. When she is 30 years from now, 30 years hence, she will be 35 years old. Wow. Justin will be 61 years old. So just mull that around.
Wow. And I'll be dead.
Then you'll be dead. I'll be dead. We'll all be dead. Probably. I assume we will be by then. Daryl, let's do Trek time. It's Trek Nerd Time. It's where you answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. We have an episode in The Next Generation that is today's subject, and it comes from a clip, and you have to decide which of these four episodes this clip comes from. Here it is. Right here.
Away team, now! What is happening? I'm gonna beam him out of there!
Bridge, this is Lieutenant Commander Data. No need to beam me up, sir. The situation is under control.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Well, what happened? Did you do anything which might have set it off?
No, but the firing program was dynamic.
The firing? In what way?
It adjusted to my tactics. It tracked with me, anticipating. A fixed program could not have done that.
Are you suggesting that someone was controlling the aiming and firing sequence?
That is exactly how it appeared. There was a mind working against me.
What did you do to this laser drill? A year's work destroyed.
I had no choice.
All right. That's a long clip.
Wow.
Also highly edited, but whatever.
We almost had to cut to commercial halfway through that. Right?
Have some intense Star Trek music and then fade out and then...
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Do some thinking there, Daryl, because there's your clip and your chances of winning are good because you have a 1 in 4 chance. Here are your options. A, Contagion. B, The Last Outpost. C, Home Soil, son. It's just home soil. Or D, The Ensigns of Command. Ensigns, or is it enzymes? We've talked about this before.
It's both, right? It's both are appropriate, or both are. I thought either way, it's ensign, like ensign or ensign.
Is it? Yeah, I think it shook out to be either one was okay.
A Z, though.
Yeah, because didn't we go? We did one of those dumb things where we go have the dictionary read it. Okay.
Well, you found the dictionary that has the American pronunciation and the English pronunciation.
Ah, yes.
The King's English.
Yes. The appropriate English. All right, Daryl. Daryl sounds like he's wrestling with his beard, doesn't it?
I swear I found your Scott Johnson and Scott Peterson.
Oh, he did?
Video, by the way.
All right.
Just put it in the chat.
Let's take a look at that. So these guys, I want to just tell a brief story, and I may have told this before. I don't know, but this was a story about dating or something. We were doing some website date thing. And this isn't even that long ago. This is like 04. Okay, it's like 10, 11 years ago or something, right before I started podcasting, honestly. They said to me, hey, now tell us your full name and spell it. Scott Johnson, Scott Johnson. And they had me do it like 3 separate times on camera, okay, before they start doing the actual filming. Then they start asking me questions. I'll play the audio.
A person's first name,
it's a little quiet.
Their information is protected.
They're known by a screen name on the site. Even during the communication process, you're never required.
Okay, first of all. What a dork. Second of all, they called me Scott Peterson. Now, if you remember, right around this time, a dude in California named Scott Peterson killed and drowned his wife.
Right.
And was in huge trouble for it. Oh. You idiots.
Well, they had Leo Laporte working on the team that was putting together the video.
Listen, if we can't get Brian Ibbotson in here, we need Scott Peterson's stat.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's embarrassing. I look like an idiot. Daryl, sorry. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. So those are your options, okay? Contagion, Last Outpost, Home Soil, The Ensigns of Command.
Speaking of videos and stuff, I have a whole bunch of videos I did in the 80s that they're all on Hi8 video, so I don't know how I'm going to get them off there, but I should post.
You should. You just need a little capture thing.
Are these commercials? Are these home videos? What are these?
Oh, I used to... My big dream was to be to make movies, and so I made all these movies.
Like movies, like with a plot and like scenes and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Mm-hmm.
I think we need to throw some budget money, whatever we have in petty cash, over at one of those places that does video conversion.
Yeah, I'm.
Where you give them the tape or the reel to reel or whatever.
I'm into that idea. Moreover, I'm interested in him. I just want to see these. I just really want to. You can go to Best Buy and get like a little unit for like I don't know, $50 or something. Do you got $50? You just you can just spend that, and it lets you have a little converter thing that converts Super 8.
I was laughing at you talking about going to Best Buy and buying a little unit. Isn't the average size about 5.5 inches?
Well, that's what we learned yesterday. That's the average man wiener. All right, Daryl, it's time for you to give us a today. Oh, no, we're going to eat. We eat something? I don't know. What do we have? I feel like we've spent this box, don't you? I mean, what's left, really? There's some kind of coconut thing and then like a, I don't know. Let's eat a green Kit Kat and then we'll call that box good.
Let's see. What do I have?
Should have one of the green Kit Kats.
Yep. I want to
do that. The darker of the greens. Do that one because my kids ate
the
rest.
What about those things on a stick? Do you have those?
Should we do those at the same time? Why don't we do those at the same time? Two for one, okay. Everyone. Two for one. Okay, so there's a little poo sticks, and then there's this green Kit Kat.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
I forgot to play that. All right, so let's open this up.
In the meantime, I'm going to be eating something from Nicole's box, which is a Necco Sky Bar.
Oh, I've had the wafer one of those. Company. It's very good. Actually, no, they're terrible. Those Neccos are terrible, aren't they?
Well, it's a Sky Bar, which is a chocolate bar that's got caramel, vanilla, peanuts, and fudge in each of the different cubicles.
Wow.
That the chocolate is surrounded.
Cubicles?
They're little cubicles.
All right, fair enough. This green one is probably, it's a little speckled in green. It's probably the Kit Kat that tastes a little like sweet wasabi.
Yeah, so Daryl, it looks like it's made of seaweed or something.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It might actually be that because it's all in Japanese and I can't read it, so I don't know. All right, so here we go.
I'm scared.
Oh.
Mmm.
That's weird. I think that is seaweed. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not. Not my favorite one.
It's not
mine
terrible.
Was very good.
No, it's okay. Even the worst Kit Kat in Japan is better than the kind we have here. But it's
Yeah, and this is it.
Yeah, that's not great. that's not my favorite, but hey, that's all right, because in this bag we have sticks with poop sticks, whatever these are.
Yeah, maybe this will be better.
It says, hold on. I wish you had these. Okay, this is Rocky Almond Crush. And it's from Japan, but it doesn't have any Japanese stuff written on it. It
doesn't smell that good either.
Oh, I drew the short straw. Hold on. All right, so there you go, everyone. See that? Like a little poop stick. All right. I say that as if that's a thing everyone has in their house. Hey, you know, like a poop stick.
Poop stick, you know.
Yeah, everyone's got one. All right, here we go. Yeah, that's just what you think it is. Ooh, it's a little like on the sweet side.
Chocolate-covered breadstick kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the little skinny breadsticks you get at fancy Italian restaurants. Ooh. You know, like Olive Garden.
Because it's so fancy.
Yeah, it's not very good. Well, that was a good way to end that box. The two things we don't like very much. How was the Necco cubicle?
It was delicious. Oh, it was fudge filled. It was great.
Yeah.
And if you had a case of those, it'd be Necco case.
Well done.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Where are we now? What do we do now? Oh, yeah. This day in Trek or something to that effect. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, shoot. My computer went weird on me. Okay, here we are. On this day in 2005, it was the last day of filming on the Enterprise episode, These Are the Voyages, which was the last thing ever filmed for Star Trek on TV.
Oh, really?
And they filmed that on Saturday, too, which was rare.
That is rare, right? To film on a Saturday? They try to give that day to people so they don't, you know, like every other job, they try to have a day off. They're not animals, mm-hmm. The Star Trek cast. Well, very nice and sad. That's a little sad. Boy, we went from seaweed-flavored Kit Kat to poop stick to last day of filming. This is not a happy day, man.
Oh, this is not good.
You know how you can remind yourself that it's a great day? Here's how. Hold on.
I'll get back to you.
That's how you know. That's how you know right there. Daryl, let's get back to your question. This is a Next Generation clip I played. It came from one of those episodes, Contagion, The Last Outpost, Home Soil, or The Ensigns or Ensigns of Command. Which one do you say it is?
Okay. If you had stopped about halfway through, I probably wouldn't have got it, but it, you played the whole episode pretty much.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Dude, Mike, what's the deal with these huge long clips?
I think you're just supposed to play a little of them, and then after I get it wrong, then you're supposed to play the rest of it.
Oh, well,
I am.
Well,
none of that was explained to us.
Yeah, this is news to me.
That information was not provided.
Well, I'm going to say Home Soil. They were drilling into soil, and it ended up being the home of this crystal life form thing.
Oh, all right. Sounds like Star Trek to me. Let's find out if you're right. Is it true that he said?
Congratulations.
It is.
You're a winner.
It is Home Soil. Also, Mike Iceworm's a rap name when he's on stage. A new life form is attacking terraformers on a planet. Data gets attacked by one and takes control of a laser drill machine. So there you go. Congratulations. Man, there's some beard action today on that microphone. I'm loving it.
I don't know what it is. I'm not doing anything different.
I'm loving it. It's good. Like McDonald's ads. I'm loving it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. It says things all day. It's also This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now, a quiz from Daryl.
Grumpy Cast. Grumpy Cast is now 1 year old.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, congratulations.
Happy 1 year. How did on this auspicious occasion, do you have anything to say about the year that was Grumpy Cast?
It was a grumpy year.
Okay, and you made exactly?
Chicken shit money.
For the whole time.
Exactly. 25 episodes as of yesterday.
People should check it out. It features Daryl and Hammond.
And a caveman.
And it's a fantastic show. All right, Daryl, lay it on us. What do we got? Spock and Kirk again?
Okay. William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy?
All right, I'm in.
Big Bad Mama.
Big Bad Mama.
What was the year on this? Oh, I'm just thinking of Big Mama, the Martin Lawrence thing.
Yeah. She wasn't bad. She was just big.
She wasn't bad. Yeah. That movie was bad.
Yeah, it was. Oof.
The movie should have been called Bad Big Mama.
What happened to him? What's he doing?
You know, he's got talent.
Right. Martin Lawrence, man. He had stuff going on. I know they got like a new, there's rumors of a new Bad Boys coming, but he's just not doing anything anymore. Ooh, he's all round now. Have you seen him lately? He's round.
No, he's all round.
Yeah. He's kind of rounded. His face and his body is round.
All right, I'm pulling it up.
Look at the Martin Lawrence 2014, and you'll get that. Sometimes Google images of certain people just shows sexist we all are. Anyway, that's for a different day.
Well, it's funny because one of the pictures is him eating a donut.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah. On mine, it came up third row down. But looks like he's gained weight, but he's also lost weight because there's a whole subsection called weight loss.
Oh, okay. Which just shows how vain we are as a culture because it became a popular enough Google search that Google puts it up at the top as a most searched term.
Right. Well, hey, I mean, at least it, people are searching, hey, how did he lose that weight? At least it's not Martin Lawrence feet as one of the choices that comes up.
Hey, which kid, is it Kid or Play that had the huge hair? I mean, Kid and Play.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, there's a photo of him with the tall hair guy, which is making me feel 90s.
I think Kid was the one with the tall hair.
Was it? Okay. I feel like we've talked about that before, too.
And he doesn't have that tall hair anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Well, Daryl, speaking of tall hair, it was Big Fat Wife, right? What was it called?
Big Bad Mama.
Big Bad Mama. Okay. So.
That sounds more like, I can't see Nimoy saying, well, come see me in my new show, Big Bad Mama.
Big Bad Mama.
I can see Shatner saying it.
Yeah, but I can't. But also, isn't it, if you hadn't seen it, it'd say, don't forget to catch me in my Bilbo Baggins music video. Yes,
that's true.
All right, I lean with you, so I'm gonna say.
Say Shatner.
Yeah, I'll say Shatner.
Okay, this is from 1974.
Yeah.
IBM. IMDb says, Mama and daughters get forced by circumstances into bootlegging and bank robbing and travel across the country trailed by the law. And this was starring Andy Dickinson, Tom Skerritt, and William Shatner.
Yay! We got one right, finally. Gosh, dang it. Also, I really liked Andy Dickinson. He was great. He had a hell of a career. It's real sad to see what happened.
Quit stepping on Nicole's toes.
Yeah, taking her steam.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, man, it's the news, and it's not brought to you by anybody, so we're just going
to
freaking do it.
Brought to you by a pint of Chunky Monkey.
Mm. Did you eat that? You didn't eat that.
No.
Okay, good.
Like recently?
Yeah.
No.
Good. Oh, because the Ben and Jerry reference.
See,
I get it.
You never make the connection that...
Well, for a second, I thought, I'm like, you ate a whole pint of that? Because what I would sometimes do with these back in the days, I'd say, yeah. Oh, brought to you by noodle,
by
chicken, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And thinking, oh man, Brian, he ate himself a lot of ice cream. Ben and Jerry are totally down with weed-infused ice cream, it turns out. Okay. The Ice Cream Kings recently announced how down with it they really are. In an interview with HuffPost Live, Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield, who do in fact have last names, were asked how they would feel about making a marijuana-infused ice cream flavor wherever it is legal, of course. So, you know, your hometown.
Sure.
Makes sense to me, you know. Combine your pleasures, says Ben instantly. Jerry. Jerry took it a bit more seriously. Quote, Ben and I have had previous experiences with substances. I think legalizing marijuana is a wonderful thing. Rather than putting people in jail for not hurting anyone else, I'm very supportive of that. Well, he's a very controlled substance himself, isn't he?
Right.
So are they going to do it? Quote, if it were my decision, I'd be doing it, Jerry said. But unfortunately, we have wiser heads at the company that figure those things out.
Can you visualize these guys without thinking of the two guys in City Slickers?
No.
Who are basically playing Ben and Jerry?
I can't. Actually, that's funny you say that. I literally visualize those guys when
that's exactly who I visualize, too.
Yeah. Nice job, City Slickers.
Great.
You gave us a rat in a maze. What else here?
So weed-infused ice cream.
Yeah, what do you want? You want that? How's that sound to you?
Well, I haven't had any pot-infused anything. I mean, edibles are a huge thing here. But again, it seems like with anything like that, you run the risk of somebody consuming an entire pint and putting themselves into a coma or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder how much it would have to... Well, I don't know. I've known so little about actual marijuana, like in terms of quantity and what quantities do. I wonder how much is too much, or if it could ever, if it would just make you sick like anything else you'd eat. I wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, people have gotten really sick from having like the candies, the edible candies that they sell at pot shops here in Colorado, where they take more than they should.
So do they? So that is that like? I assume so. Like, you buy a bag, let's say, and they're like, I don't know. What do they like? Are they like lozenge style candy? Like,
no, there's some that are like chocolates. There's ones that look like Reese's peanut butter cups and ones that look like Snickers. But it says, and that's the thing. I don't even know if it says on the package, eat one square of this. You know, it's like a Hershey's, one of those long Hershey's things that's got all the nibs.
Oh, right.
Whatever they call it, the pips or whatever they call the individual squares.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
where they say, serving size, do not exceed one square.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah, it's...
I can't do that.
People don't know that. They don't look at it. I mean, they'll be like, oh, this is delicious. Great.
What they need to do, though, is they need to spread it out some, because I can't... When I have a Hershey bar, even though I know that's not great chocolate, everyone shut up in Europe. We know. We know it's not as good as yours, okay?
It's not Cadbury, okay? We know.
We get it. Bok, bok. But anyway, when I eat one of those things, I can't stop with one pip, as you put it. I can't do that.
Right.
I have to eat
half the
thing.
So all of a sudden, you basically have to look at this as, I'm not eating candy. I'm not eating ice cream. I'm eating a controlled substance, and I need to only eat it's like you're eating medicine, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't drink more than one of those little plastic cupfuls of NyQuil,
mm-hmm.
or else you'll be more than knocked out.
Or they have those gummy... painkillers or gummy melatonin
and vitamins
or whatever.
And stuff. Sure. I mean, vitamins aren't too bad.
Sure. You can't quite.
I once ate like a quarter of a bottle of Bayer aspirin.
Oh, good Lord.
That had the half orange.
Oh my gosh.
Because of the flavor, right? I was a little kid. Grandparents were watching me. They were downstairs watching Battle of the Network All-Star something. And I was upstairs like, oh, this is delicious. Oh, I'll have another one of these.
Yeah. Wow.
So, well, yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
Did you get what
they do? Did they pump your stomach or do anything crazy?
No,
or?
I think I just got sick, but I don't remember anything. I don't remember any negative effects other than just having a stomach ache.
Good gosh. Maybe you're protected forever from heart attacks because you know that stuff's supposed to be good for blood.
My blood is so thin.
Yeah. It's like
practically
white.
It oozes out my pores. It's so thin.
Yeah, it's like sweat. It's like, oh, Brian, are you okay? I think I've been cut. No, you're just sweating. No, I've been cut. It's my translucent blood. Well, you know, like the Finnish, they have that.
Exactly. So don't eat the whole pint of Ben and Jerry's wheat ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's, if there's one thing we can take away from all this.
Yeah. Eat other things every day. That's what we want to say. That.
That's right. Take a small amount every day.
I'll say this at the last thing. It is only a matter of time before you end up at the weird neighbors, the crazy neighbors, and somebody made brownies and you didn't know it.
Right.
It's coming, dude. It's coming.
You know, they've been super good about telling us, all right, the stuff on this tray is edibles, because they'll have friends come over who obviously also consume. Yeah. And we'll be over there at the same party and they'll say, well, don't have any of this cake. Have this cake over here.
Okay, so they are been good about pointing it
they're
out to
very
you.
Good about yeah they're very good about warning us, because they know that, I mean, if, for me it's, you know, just like a I don't care to even do it.
Right.
For Tina it's she could lose her job kind of thing.
Oh, if, yeah, because you get random drug tests and stuff, right?
Not just that, but she has to get re-credentialed every year, where they ask questions like, have you done any illegal drugs in the past year? Knowingly can't say, well, yes, I have.
Yeah, I ate a brownie at my neighbor's house.
Right, exactly.
Well, here we go. Let's dive into some interesting news. Apparently, there is going to be an Independence Day 2, and it will have Jeff Goldblum and Liam Hemsworth in it. Now, Goldblum's always down to come back to whatever. He don't care.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, he's good. No Will Smith, though. You're going to have Liam Hemsworth to deal with. And Jesse Usher has been cast to take over as Will Smith's son.
Okay.
That's real stupid, in my opinion. And this is my problem with their first Independence Day, is how conveniently everyone met up all the time. Oh, I just happened along in the city of millions to bump into where the president's wife is. And isn't that convenient? Let's get her on the boat and get her back to see everybody. And oh, isn't it crazy? We all met up again at the end. And I always hated that about Independence Day. It was a little too convenient.
Yeah.
So now this is super convenient. Anyway, so Jesse Usher, Survivor's Remorse, I guess is something he's from, will play the son of Will Smith's captain, Stephen Hiller, presumably the actual son and not his wife's daughter from the movie All Grown Up. It will be interesting to see him establish the relationship since Will Smith won't be returning. Hemsworth's character has not been named, but rumors have him pegged as the nephew of Bill Pullman's president character.
President Everybody's character. Children
yeah.
in this episode of Independence Day.
I don't like it. I don't like this idea. Who's Randy Quaid's kid? He had like four of them, right?
Right.
Something like
Independence
that.
Independence Day, the next generation.
Alien shitter's full, and then the kid comes in. That'll be great. There is absolutely no confirmation, blah, blah, blah. Pullman's return is itself up in the air, but at least one star isn't anymore. It's been reported and confirmed by Roland Emmerich on Facebook that Jeff Goldblum will be back as David Levinson. Whether or not he'll be injecting viruses with a really old MacBook is still to be determined.
Look, I made a HyperCard stack that will automatically transmute the virus into the alien ship.
It's really the worst thing. I still don't like that movie. I had fun watching it with, you know, people and friends, but I don't like that movie.
Given the choice.
Yeah.
Continuing movie franchises from our youth or our 20s, would you rather see reboots or sequels where it's you know, like this, where it's a couple of characters, a couple actors from the first one, but here's the son of this character and here's the nephew of this other character.
I feel like I don't know, this is gonna be a controversial topic and people can argue about it and I'd love to hear people's thoughts, but I feel like reboot in the right hands, and I know you can't always ensure that. You know, this idea of Chris Pratt being cast as Indiana Jones is actually really interesting to me. I think there's some merit to that and all that stuff, but I don't know that if it's in the wrong hands that we're going to get anything good. You know, what you don't want is a lot of pandering to you as a fanboy.
Sure.
But
sure.
Also you want a faithful treatment as a fanboy. So we're a picky bunch and I feel like it's kind of a no-win situation. So I just hope they make something good.
Well, we're going to get a lot of that this year. I mean, we're going to get the Star Wars that's a continuation with a couple actors from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
We're going to get Jurassic World, which has, I don't know if it's got any actors from the original series, but it is continuing on the same timeline. It's
sure,
not a,
that's
a reboot.
True. That's true. In a way, they kind of are rebooting them, though. You know what I mean? Like, maybe my answer to you, because it is a great question, I think the answer is maybe it's best when it's kind of both, because you're resetting the world in a way because you got all new characters, but you've continued on from previous knowledge about when the park started, what was Dr. Hammond's idea, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff can fit into it, but you're still carrying it into a new generation. And Star Wars is kind of doing that. They're at least passing the baton in this one. You know, generations tried to do that with Star Trek movies. Right. They tried to kind of hand it off and then let the new guys take over. So,
well, I mean, even J.J. Abrams' Star Trek is kind of both, right? It straddles the line. It's a reboot, but it's also a continuation of the original Star Trek, since you've got Leonard Nimoy and all of his experience and knowledge that he had from the original series and the movies.
Yeah, if anything, maybe Star Trek 09 is your best example of this.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe because he's behind Star Wars, we'll get a similar treatment. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Very interesting, though.
It is looking interesting. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Hey, look at this. Today's episode brought to you by Casper. Did you know I still sleep on a Casper mattress, Brian?
I did not know that,
Scott. Here's why. Because when I got it, I thought, well, I'll try it out. They had this trial, right? You could send it back after a ton of time. And I thought, well, this is like no risk. They'll pay for the shipping. I literally can keep the thing for like this huge amount of time. And if it, you know, if I just don't like it or whatever,
then right.
Yeah, just send it back. No big deal.
Yeah.
Turns out we really like it a lot. So we have totally kept it and we love it and it's comfortable and it feels great and I love going to bed in it every night and I wake up refreshed more than I ever did on my old mattress and I freaking love it. These guys are amazing and the entire show brought to you by them. They use these two technologies, latex and memory foam, and they bring them together to bring you better nights and brighter days. A comfortable mattress that has all the right sink and bounce, although I've not tried to put the wine on the corner and jump up and down thing that people used to do. Remember that? Like a little wine glass.
Yeah, right. Or they drop a bowling ball on one side and.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
It would
have
no effect on the pins or something on the other side. Right. I can't remember.
So your grandma could stay asleep or whatever happened there. Well, anyway, they offer this free delivery, painless returns, 100-day window. So 100 days to try the thing out. You don't have to go in some showroom and lay where some homeless guy had been the night before. You can literally have it in your home, brand new mattress, try it out. 100 days. That's a long time. That's 10 days more than 90. That's 3 months plus 10 days.
Wow.
Math. They're all made in the USA. It's the other thing I really like. And their prices are great. So $500 for a twin, for example, $950 for a king-size mattress. Compare that to industry averages. It's an outstanding and incredible price point. You can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream. And then you enter the code morningstream. So keep it all simple. /morningstream, code morningstream. That'll get you $50 off. And again, give it a try. 100 days, risk-free. We love them. You will too. Give it a shot. All right. The MTV Music Awards are still a thing.
Movie awards.
What did I say?
Well, they have both of them, actually. You said music awards.
Oh, I meant movie. Yeah, I didn't mean that. I meant movie. Well, it's still a thing, and I guess it still happens. And we have nominations for the 2015 MTV Movie Awards. And Guardians of the Galaxy and Fault in Our Stars are high on the list. This is the movie awards where all the other stuff wins, kind of.
Right, exactly. It's the movie awards that tries to be the thing that is relevant to the demographic that watches MTV.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
This year's 8 nominees for Movie of the Year include Best Picture Oscar, also-rans American Sniper, Boyhood, Selma, and Whiplash, Guardians of the Galaxy, Fault in Our Stars, 22 Jump Street, let's see.
Jump Street, really?
Yeah, that's what they've got here.
All right.
Highest grossing film. Let's see.
These other two are also. Oh, that's weird.
It's the way this is written is weird.
So the 8 nominees are American Sniper, Boyhood, Selma, Whiplash, Guardians of the Galaxy, Fault in Our Stars, 22 Jump Street, and Hunger Games: Mockingjay.
Yeah, I read that Street Along.
Street Along. 22 Jump Street Along. Did Ice Worm write this?
I don't know. Gone Girl and Teen Sensation, Fault in Our Stars, right out the top category. Guardians of the Galaxy and Fault in Our Stars are tied with Neighbors for the most nominations with 7 apiece. Whiplash and 22 Jump Street are the next with 5 each. It's like a different world than the Oscars.
Right.
For sure. These airs April 12th in the Nokia Theater. That's run by the Finnish, and they'll all be see-through, so you can see the little hearts beating.
Oh, nice, good. Yeah. It'll be, you'll actually be able to see right through the envelope.
Yeah, every time. And they just kind of, they just come in and go, and the nominees are. Yeah. So do you watch that? Is that a thing you catch? Or?
I used to watch for the produced stuff that they would do around the awards, because those were always really good. Like, they'd have, one year they had chimpanzees reenacting all the biggest movies of the year. I remember that being hilarious. Wow. But I don't watch for the actual awards. I don't care about that. And once you start getting to the point where half of the presenters are people I don't know, have never even heard of, that's when I stopped caring about that.
Yeah, I don't care much. I remember that year that Howard Stern, who, by the way, says podcasts are for losers. He said that yesterday on the show. Yeah.
Did you just recently say that?
Yeah. Just like, I think so. The video sent to me looked like it was recent, but he was going off. And what's her name that sits there by him and talks
Robin?
To him? Robin.
Rob, yeah.
She kept telling him that he's maybe aging out of it and doesn't understand.
Good.
And he kept going on about how, listen, you want to get into broadcasting? Get into broadcasting. Oh, it's that easy, is it?
Yes, sure.
Oh, it's that simple. It doesn't involve a bunch of luck and 50 years of juking and jiving from a time that doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure he looks back at all that time and says, those were some great times that I spent, like, you know, reporting to Don Imus. And
in the 70s.
Yes,
when there was no other alternative and that was all you could do, and you still only got one out of every 1,000 person who was talented enough to get in there. Come on, right. Howard. I like Howard Stern, but please. It's the most old man thing I've ever heard him say. Anyway.
Yes. Please.
Yeah. there's a new Avengers trailer, and I haven't seen it yet because I was going to watch it this morning right before the show, and then the internet went down, and all that happened. So I haven't seen it yet. I will watch it later.
Okay.
But more importantly, Joss Whedon has been joking lately the Avengers sequel was a complete nightmare to make due to expanded superhero cast.
Sure.
He said this, shoot me in the face. It's a nightmare. He says, I long for simple movies like Serenity, he says. He may as well be yelling Serenity now. That's what I like about that. This is the hardest juggling act I've ever had to try to pull off. He says it all swelled with getting Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the mix, Paul Bettany with The Vision, and all this other stuff. He says they're very disparate characters. The joy of Avengers is they really don't belong in the same room. It's not like the X-Men, who are all tortured by the same thing and have similar costumes, he explained. These guys are just all over the place, so it's tough. Honestly, this is as though, as anything I've ever done, I have worked this hard. What? I haven't worked this hard since I had all three shows on the air.
Probably supposed to be, this is as thorough as anything I've ever done, and I haven't worked this hard since I had three shows on the air.
Oh, yes, as though.
Yeah.
Typo. Way to go, Hollywood Reporter.
Jeez, no kidding.
And he says, and then he also says, there's more Hulk in this movie than there was in the last one. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But what I'm excited about is we shot this movie very differently. I was running a lot of cameras. I was shooting long lenses, which I usually don't do. He said, adding that he aimed to shoot the film a little more like a documentary. I'm very excited about this movie.
That'd be awesome if it was like The Office, where, you know, they have an action scene and then they cut to an interview with Captain America. I don't know what Iron Man was thinking there. And
I would, you
they
know,
cut back to some more action, and then they cut back to Black Widow. That really still didn't feel like a party to me.
I would watch the hell out of that. That would be really good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. Therapy Thursday day. That's what this is. We're excited to have her back. We weren't here last week, so excited to have her on. I was so sick last Thursday, but hey, here we are, not sick anymore, at least over it mostly. And time for some therapy. Before that, Brian has music. What is it?
How about an email from Kenny? Kenny says, hey, Spoon and Big, I just got engaged. My girlfriend said yes to my Disneyland proposal, and now we're starting our life adventure together. Would love for you to play a cover of anything sappy and lovey-dovey, because that's where my mind is now. Shout out to my fiance, Kim. Love the show, though. Kenny, a.k.a. Pizza Robotics. Pizza Robotics for Scott, who called me Pizza Biotics a while ago.
All right.
Well done. Nice job.
Yeah. Oops.
All right, so we did play a song by this band recently, maybe even been as recent as last week, but these guys are becoming my new obsession. Actually, just J-punk is becoming my new obsession, Japanese punk rock. Mm. Especially when you're listening to it and you're saying to yourself, I think they're singing the English words, but it doesn't sound like they're singing the English words to the song. Case in point, A Whole New World by the band Too Close to See. This is from their 2005 album, Good Old Days. This, by the way, this album is great. Covers on here of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Change the World by Eric Clapton, Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters, Your Song by Elton John. This album, this right here, this is great stuff.
Nice.
It's Too Close to See is the name of the band, and Good Old Days is the album. This is their cover of the Disney song from Aladdin called A Whole New World.
Holy crap. All right, here it is. We'll be right back.
I can show you the world. Shiny seamen is better than the princess. When did the girl answer to her side? I can open your eyes. Take you one by one. On the sideways and I'm there. On the mountain can we try? A whole new world. A new fantasy point of view. Now what you do is all. Where to go? It's our way all the way. On a magic carpet.
If you want to start from scratch to build your own PC, there are two ways to get help. Jonathan Chilvers is an instructor who can teach you how to build a computer, and Chuck Liu is a so-called home brewer who will build one for you. Jonathan, let me start with you. We've all probably gone to Radio Shack or Heath Kit or something like that and built little radios or something in the past, but a computer is another story. You've got a lot of stuff in here. How difficult is it to really build a personal computer?
Well, the good news is that today, building a PC is very easy. Mm. Practically anybody can do it.
Oh, that one looks good. I like that one.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Hey, Brian, a PC is so easy to build, anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it.
Mm.
I have built mine. I've built three computers.
Yes. Skype is the best.
I like doing that.
Hey, everyone. What's going on? We're back. That means windy time.
Yay.
Dear. Let's see. Let's get her in here. Oh, speaking of windy time, it reminds me of saying Hammer Time, which I saw in Heroes of the Storm last night. I got a problem. I may have finally gotten the bug, and now Heroes of the Storm is kind of a problem for me. That game is it's good. Let's put it that way.
Cool.
Need to get a Frog Pants team going. That's what I want more than anything right now. Well, that and a steak. Steak and eggs. That sounds good.
Wait, what?
That just sounds yummy. Doesn't it sound good? It sounds good for some reason. Hi, Wendy. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. It feels like ages.
I know. Where have you guys been?
I know. What the crap? We've been so worried about you. Not really. We knew you were okay. We've been following your exploits on Instagram and seeing what you have to say there. I notice you're not really using, you know, you don't use the Facebook or any of that stuff.
I don't.
Yeah. But Instagram is always full of some little funny image and some interesting commentary about life and family and Sweden. It's always a good time. Well, it's good to have you back. And we've got a question for you today. Actually, we were going to use it last week, and then I got deathly ill. But now everyone's healthy, and here I am to give it to you. Are you ready for your big therapy question today?
I am.
Great. Here it is. It goes like this. Oh, and by the way, for those listening for the very first time, Wendy is my sister. She is also a therapist, a real one, that helps people every day with real problems. And she comes on here Thursday, lowers her bar that low to come on with us and answer your questions.
I'm slumming it.
Yeah, slumming it on TMS. Has been since the first week. Yes.
I have a question. Do you know how many new listeners there are? I mean, what if you just keep saying this and no one's new?
Well, I've always said that or always wondered that and found out just recently how many there are. Like every once in a while, every other day probably, we get 3 or 4 emails saying, hey, I'm a brand new listener. Love this, love that, whatever. And they're just the ones writing in. So I think it kind of has to be. Plus the numbers go up all the time. So
I feel like we probably get between five to 10 new listeners per episode. But then we probably piss off enough people to lose that amount. So there's a good turnover.
So do you even though. So you need to do the disclaimer. I got it. Okay.
So and here's an interesting number. So from a month ago, we're doing about 1,000 listeners more than we were a month ago per episode. So I don't know what that averages out to be per episode, but Brian's probably close to right. Like it's kind of more than I think. And so I have to remember that, not everyone's been here since like 2011. I should probably explain what the hell's going on. Anyway, so to those people, welcome. To Wendy, I give you this question. This is from somebody whose name will not be used. It says, Scott, Brian, and Wendy, on February 20th, you touched on a topic that is close to an issue that I have concerns with. The conversation veered onto the divorce side of it, however. I am 40 and engaged. My fiancé is 6 months my junior. We've talked about... Sorry, I was thinking of Indiana Jones when I said junior and I could not get it out of my head. We talked about about kids, but it seems that each time we have the conversation, it gets derailed. I know that the older she gets, it can complicate things medically. The older I get, I keep thinking about legacy and family, which is something I want to talk about here in a minute. With this in mind, I have two issues. How do I first resolve my thoughts about family as I get older? And then how do I approach this with her while still keeping her safety in mind? She's wonderful and I love her. I just don't want to get married and regret it later because she may or may not want children. Thanks for the content, guys. Anonymous. Okay. So I wanted to ask one quick question. Before you get into this, is the primary motivation, like the primal chemical motivation for a dude who wants children, is his main motivation to create legacy? Or is there something else going on there? I'm just wondering about the kind of the primal, you have a million reasons. Oh, I want to have a son to go fishing with or whatever. But isn't the bottom line like you want to carry the name on and have your line survive in the vast sea of humanity?
Yeah. Well, the big picture answer is yes. Hmm. It's slightly more complicated than that. But it's essentially, I mean, you have a many, many theories about development, right? So you have 0 to 3, what happens during that time, what happens in your childhood, grade school ages, what happens teenage time. And then the adulthood stages of development can vary, but all of them seem to sort of, every model sort of points to kind of the end middle adulthood. So 40 to 65. So 18 to 65 is adulthood. Okay. Mm-hmm. 18 to 40 is one set, and then 40 to 65. So the guy's on the cusp of the second half, which is why we call it the midlife crisis. It's the midline, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is where people start to feel the, like, okay, what have I done? What am I going to do? There's a reevaluation that kind of takes place. And often, if you haven't had children up to that point, there is a pretty strong feeling of like, what do I leave behind? Mm. And there are people who will not feel like leaving children behind is what they want to do. And then there are others where that's how they feel like their legacy is, will be created, is through, you know, procreating. So the procreating group, that's probably the majority of human history, right? Mm-hmm. A biological imperative, yada, yada. I think there's other versions now because we have money and luxury and lots of things we didn't, you know, historically not many people had before. So they can leave a will that would, you know, or donate their body to science. They might find some other way. But I would say the average person, yeah, probably.
It's still their big motivation. Really. It's funny because I had this weird sense the other day. I was listening to some radio documentary about one of the founding fathers whose signature is worth the most money. He was like a nobody back then, like really a small dude. But his signature, it turns out, is worth tons of money because he signed so few things. And as it turns out, he had no surviving children. So he actually had children, but they died. And then they didn't have any children. And that line gone. There's no continuation of that family line. He, you know, that basically he represented the end of it. His kids died before he did. And that's why his signature is so rare. But what I took away from that, hearing that, was this weird, profound sadness that his mark was literally, there's nothing to show for it other than, yeah, there's some history about the guy, but there's nothing else. There's nobody to say, yeah, my great, 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 great grandfather was this guy. And today, you know, we're spread all over the place and here's what came of us like that. I don't know why that seems so sad to me. And I was questioning myself, is that a cultural thing? Is that something I've learned to feel, or is that a natural human reaction to when somebody's, you know, no longer making people anymore? I don't know.
Right. Well, and maybe it's some of that is the luxury of an extended lifespan, access to healthcare, clean food and water, you know, that we expect our children to outlive us. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, many, many points in history where people did not expect all their children to outlive them. That was definitely not a thing. Mm. I don't know their expectations. I'm not quite sure on that, but I would assume they, you know, they had a lot of experience with young children dying and, you know, accidents and whatever, what have you, that, you know, maybe are not quite as prevalent. They still, of course, occur, but I think there is that, I don't know, maybe it's the feeling like what I did mattered. And I think that's really where this guy is at, is that 40 sort of represents, maybe for some it's the start of, or it's the middle of for them, this sort of questioning of, what have I done so far? What do I do now? And I think at the core of that, you know, it can be about a number of things, but I think, do I have children or not? You know, is a thing. Because you don't really know. And if you're 40 years old and you've not had children, you, and maybe most of your friends have not, or your interactions are very limited with children, you, you know, you sort of have this romantic view of what that looks like, legacy looks like, or, you know, raising children. And so you really don't know. And it sounds like this guy, he's with someone he loves very much. She's not so sure, but man, she's pushing the upper limits of this being a good time for her, physically. 'Cause it can be, you know, pretty tricky. I mean, 44, I think, is your sort of real upper limit of a natural conception with no intervention at all.
Yeah. No complications.
And that's going to be, if you're lucky, you know.
Why are the risks so much higher? It's just purely age, right? I mean, there's nothing about, well, it probably is a lot of hormonal, chemical, whatever. I guess that is your health, but
that is the reason. And you know, I think there's often why relationships are, men tend to be older, women are a little younger for that very reason.
Yeah,
and maturity levels can vary.
But isn't that also why we like idolize like young, beautiful women, you know, at some kind of primal level? Again, there's this thing where we're like, well, they're gonna have the most kids the soonest because they're young and they're virile and all that.
Right. Yep. Yeah. That's at least what we're told, right?
It sounds obvious when I say that, and I realize that sounds super dumb and obvious, but it always strikes me as it's so easy for us to forget that and just look at it and go, hey, she's
exactly, because it's such a subconscious thing. It's like it's ingrained into us, so we can easily forget that.
Yeah. It's weird.
Right. If you look fertile, you tend to be more attractive, right? And the features of someone who would seemingly be fertile.
With them wide breeding hips.
Yep.
Yeah. As long as their butt is wide, you know, you have lots of babies. But there's also like fat cheeks, you know, sort of not butt cheeks, but face cheeks, like, like the look of health and vitality, you know, and that's this is the kicker for all you men out there, is why this is so unfair, that men look more distinguished as they age. You know, they sort of gray up a little and they just seem smarter or even better looking sometimes. Mm-hmm. And women, we think, just look old. And part of that is sort of the biological imperative of fertility for women and the biological imperative for security and providing we've had, you know, on men. And so the more distinguished or aged, you know, maybe the richer they look. So, I mean, they've done studies. I hate that this is all true, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
They've done studies on, you know, they show women a picture of a man in a t-shirt and jeans and they rate his looks. And then they put an occupation with those looks. And we sure think the wealthy lawyer is way better looking than the poor plumber.
Sure.
Plumbers are not poor, by the way. They usually do pretty well.
Sure, but isn't there isn't there a thing when they're younger? Like if you see a young guy, buff looking, happy, carefree looking guy in his jeans and his t-shirt when he's in his 20s, that's attractive to a lot of women because he represents, in a funny way, the exact same thing. In a way,
fertility.
The fertility, but also he'll take you away from your busy, you know, stressful life into a more carefree one. It doesn't necessarily represent the kind of old guy security, financially.
Yeah, no. When you see a fun-loving, happy, smiley guy in a t-shirt and jeans in their 40s or 50s, you may think he's a bum.
Yeah.
That's the contrast, right?
Yeah.
The bum being he can't provide. And it's interesting because I think gender roles have sort of shifted quite a bit in the last, 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see if our attraction catches up or if it varies per person. I don't know. But I do think it's interesting being in Sweden. There is a huge value on equality and, you know, both men and women work. That's a very strong value. Everyone works and kids are, you know, sort of raised at home. They have really great parent leave for a couple years and then they go to, you know, daycares are all really inexpensive and really good.
Yeah.
And so there's sort of this community ethic on everyone's providing and there's this great place for kids to be raised, you know, and people would argue not all these things are perfect, but the value is so much on that men and women are equal. And it's intriguing. I've talked to a few people from other countries, you know, men in particular, who find Swedish men very emasculated. Is that the right word?
Emasculated.
There's a word.
Emasculated means their masculinity has been brought down a few pegs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And a little more feminine or a little more, and that, you know, the women sort of wear the pants or whatever. But it's interesting because they're coming from their own culture of what's that word? Machismo? I can't remember
machismo,
English.
Machismo, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of like, the dude is the dude or whatever, right?
Right.
So, of course, they're going to view that a little differently. But it's interesting for me to sort of see this and see this sort of compatibility that's pretty cool. Now, is it working for everyone? I don't know.
Mm.
It's interesting, though, because it's like a little social science experiment over in this corner of the world. And it's different in every culture, obviously. It's going to have a different thing. But, you know, how does that ultimately impact the way they interact and the way they view the world? And are they attracted to more nurturing men?
Mm-hmm.
Are Swedish women more attracted to nurturing men? Because I will tell you, I see men with babies in backpacks. I see, and they have such, you know, I mean, they have a 3-month mandatory paternal leave when a baby is born.
Mm.
That dude is not allowed back in work until that baby's 3 months old.
Wow.
Which, what a difference in
totally unheard of
initial.
Here. Yeah.
You get 2 days?
Yeah,
maybe?
If you're lucky.
Right.
If you're lucky.
And so you see just very nurturing fathers and at playgrounds, I am often the only woman there.
Mm.
It's really different. And then, you know, sometimes you'll be with all women, but it's nothing I've ever experienced before. So it's intriguing. I'd love to know sort of longitudinally how that impacts. I mean, we know a lot about a father's influence.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, be interesting.
Well, emasculates them, does it masculate you when you're at the park and you're the only lady there? Do you feel like,
I scratch myself and grunt. It's weird. No.
I just want to see that anyway.
No, but I'll tell you, they do like to, it's not snuff. What's that tobacco you put in your mouth?
Chew.
Yeah, that is a thing here. And so like some dad's talking to his kid and then like I see him from the side and there's like a bulge in his mouth. I'm like, what the? Yeah, that's kind of a thing. So that's maybe how they find their masculinity.
That's weird. I'm trying to picture a bunch of Swedish guys chewing tobacco. It's usually like here the stereotype is you're the backwoods redneck or a baseball player or, you know, whatever else. And it's also called something else here. They're called, you put in... Ah, there's another term.
Chewing tobacco, chaw.
Chaw,
I don't think
nice.
Anyone's saying chaw anymore, are they? I hope
no,
not.
Probably not.
It's chaw. Something else. Shoot. I dip. They call it dip.
Dip. Oh, dip. Yeah. Yes. Dip. Right. So the stereotype here would be like kind of a semi-hot Swedish guy who's totally nurturing with a big old wad in his lip.
Weird.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Anyway, sorry. We rest from the emailer. He's... Come on, can you answer my question?
Get back to me.
Yeah, stop talking about Sweden. So I think what is interesting about what he says is they are basically trying to make a decision before they've fully committed to building their life together. And I understand that, of course. You're like, well, I don't want to regret this. And this is where I think a lot of our anxious brain gets in the way, which is, what if, you know, because you can't predict the future. You can't know if you decide not to have children or if you decide to have children that that's the right decision or you'll regret it. Or, you know, you can't know. You can guess. But here's where people sort of give up some of their power, and that is to make a decision and then live with the decision you make. So there's nothing more unfair than saying, okay, let's get married. I know you don't want kids. It's cool. I don't either. And then a couple of years down the road, you're like, I changed my mind. And I resent you for it. No, you went in knowing this is a tricky thing. I mean, it's one thing if they lied to you, okay, but it's another to say, hey, I agree, and, you know, here we are. And at 40, you know, she has legitimate reasons why she may not want to do this. And of course, you love her and don't want this to be difficult for her either. But you really got to decide, like, do you want to be 60 at your kid's high school graduation? You need to be on the same page if you're going to do that. As well as if you don't do that, what do you then do to create legacy? And I think that's my point, is this is not have kids and have a legacy, don't have kids and have no legacy. There's a lot of ways. In fact, that's what that stage is for. The official words for it are generativity versus stagnation. So do you create sort of community service that is meaningful to you? You know, do you get involved in groups and clubs and with friends? I mean, are you creating meaning and lasting sort of, you know, what's in your obituary kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, your legacy is what you're saying again.
Yeah. In that period, if you include children in that, great. If you don't, great. But you have to sort of be real honest about what matters to you. Because here's the reality. If you sat down with her and said, I absolutely want children, and I'm going to resent you if we don't. If you could be that straightforward, and she could say, oh, wow, if it's that important to you, I mean, I'm coming up ambivalent. Maybe we should do it. Great. But if you say that and she says, then absolutely not. This is not going to work. I mean, there's sort of an honesty. We tend not to, if we know, maybe he doesn't know. And that's the difficulty, right?
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for make your decision and then live your life as that decision is true, and you can't do anything about the decision, you know, the sort of looking back and changing the past. A lot of us spend a lot of time fighting past decisions and trying to manipulate the past when it is impossible. And that's called regret, or that's called, you know, and you waste so much energy there. So really they just need to sit down and have a super honest conversation about this. If they don't have children, then what? And who makes that final call? And if you go to a doctor and they say, it's going to take this, this, and this, and 40 shots every morning, and you're going to feel like a crazy person, because that's what it sometimes takes.
Yeah.
And it may or may not work, and your child may have a disability, and et cetera, et cetera. If that's what you want to do, then you better decide to do that together. Mm. Because they're just getting married now. There's not a lot of foundation, meaning, 10 years of commitment, and then the struggle of fertility is really hard. But 6 months in the struggle of fertility is also very hard. And, you know, you want to make sure you have some roots and make sure you're creating the relationship you want and that it's not about kids or not. I think sometimes kids are used as a, Oh yeah, they're always used. Let's be honest. You know, if the relationship's working or the relationship's not working. Right. I mean, yeah, if I had a dollar for every person that had a baby because they thought that would bring them together.
Yeah.
And how wrong are they? That babies, they tear people apart. They do not bring people together. No, they can.
they can. But depends.
It's so much more rare.
Sure.
It's so much more rare because the additional stress, if you are not united, can be, you know, pretty taxing. So.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. To me, it seems like this is just a thing where you guys have to discuss it. And less of, I don't know. Right, like right now, I feel like he has a bunch of expectations that would be solved with a conversation about it, like directly. And he's kind of alluded to the fact that they've had conversations and that they always end in disagreement. But I don't know that you've had the direct one that Wendy's talking about. The right. kind of, and, you know, let's have kids or not. And if not,
maybe there's a thing. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do this where, like, you hear? I do this nearly every day. I'll say, "Hey, Adam, what do you want for dinner?" Mm-hmm. And he'll say, "Oh, chicken." And I'll be like, "Ooh, all right." And then we have like fish. And right. you know what it is? And at first, there was a while he was like, "Okay, every night." Like, I'm kind of offended. I'm like, "Make your own dinner." No, just kidding. Then. What it is that I need something to push against a little bit. And this is a stupid example, but sometimes couples are having, I'm fighting for a position just because you're saying the opposite. So mm-hmm. right. I don't know why I'm even saying this. Maybe it's relevant to them or not. I don't know. But there's maybe a, I think I might want kids. And she's like, "Wow, I think I might not." Mm-hmm. But if he said, "Cool, we are doing what you want to do. You don't want to have kids. I will deal with that. We will work on creating legacy in a different way." She might be like, "Oh, wait, maybe I do."
Mm.
And so we have this tendency to sort of fight a battle that we wouldn't fight normally just because
we want that resistance.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there's something kind of weird about that. So maybe he ought to explore that. Mm. She might just be reacting to him.
Is that the same thing? I mean, teenagers kind of automatically have that. Is that just something that we don't lose as we get older? Or does that come from a different place once you become an adult and you need it from a different?
Well, I really think it varies per person, but I like your theory because I now have
it's
a
just something we never,
who does it.
Something we never get rid of.
Never get rid of. And there's something about, like, you know, why a teenager does it. So let's identify that is their stage of development is individuation. Like, who am I? So how I know who I am is I push against the walls that are next to me. And those are your parents. So when I push on that wall and my mom says I can't have blue hair, so I'm going to get purple hair because she didn't say purple. Mm. You know, I'm pushing against walls to understand who I am. It's part of sort of identity development and personality development, right? So it serves a really great purpose. It's a nightmare when you're a parent, of course, but it's valuable when your kids are doing it. In fact, I'm going to say this to those who have kids who rebel a little bit. It's great. Good job. And for people like Scott, who is just so freaking easy, shut up. We don't want to hear about
whatever.
It.
Whatever. So freaking easy. That's funny.
But it does, part of it, I mean, I think, like, my theory about Carter, for example, is that she has an alternative way of identifying herself that doesn't require her rebelling against her parents. Like, she's can push against cultural things and feel like, okay, I'm figuring out who I am. She doesn't necessarily feel like she has to do it against her parents.
I agree with that.
And that's really nice when that happens, because as a parent, it's much easier to feel liked rather than despised.
Sure.
So, but I think as adults, there's maybe an immaturity on my part with the dinner thing. But I think what it is sort of, maybe it's just testing again what I think, what I want. I mean, in the case of this couple, what is it she really wants? If, you know, I do this a lot with couples, if I have to help them separate what it is they really want, because so often they're so embattled with each other, they're not even clear on that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you don't lose it, but I think it's still sort of the how to figure out what you want and make decisions, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it does. It's so funny because it's like it's that simple sort of thing. But man, when you actually have to have the conversation, and Kim and I were just talking about this, she had to have a conversation with somebody that was going to be a little bit tricky, because she basically had to bow out of something that, for Kim, that's super hard. If you ask her to do something, she will do it, and she'll not say no regardless of, you know, some would say that's a great strength. Some would call it a weakness, but it's just part of her. She has really hard. If you said, look, I need you to come feed 5,000 people tonight. I lost my cook and all the people are supposed to help. Can you do it? She'd say, yes, I'll be right over. Like, that's how she thinks and does things. In this one case, she has to say no. And it was really, really difficult for her. So we had this big conversation ahead of time about how the message that she has to convey is a simple one. And their reaction is going to be just as simple. They're going to say, okay, no problem. But the actual delivery of the message for her, very, very difficult. And maybe that's what's happening here. It's just a very hard thing to be really honest about and just lay out mathematically. Do you want to have children? If not, we may have a problem. Like, that's the message. But saying that is so freaking hard.
Right.
So I feel for him.
So one way to do this that might be nice, I do this a lot with clients, so I'll give you a trick of the trade, is you spell out each alternative and say, this is what happens. You decide you don't want children and I acquiesce and, you know, I deal with it and I'm not bitter and we just kind of go on with our lives. Like, how does that feel to you? Mm-hmm. So you go through the scenario and then you say, listen to your gut. What does your gut tell you about that? You know, I'll do this with people who are contemplating divorce, and I will spell out, like, you're living in your own apartment, you're sharing custody with the kids, you have your job and your friend, you know, I play out what their life might look like. And then I say, just sit there for a second and feel that. What does that feel like? And when they sigh and, like, relax for the first time in months, and they're like, that sounds amazing. I'm like, okay, maybe we should listen to that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of can go through each of those scenarios and just sort of tune into yourself. Like, what is it that is best for me? So here's the irony of this conversation is when Adam and I were dating, I made it very clear I did not want children.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't because I was young. I was 24. I just, when you study what I studied, you're like, why would I bring a human being into this world? So there was a little bit of that, like, and I was the youngest and I hated babysitting and I was sort of like, kids, not so much.
Yeah.
And Adam loves kids. They love him. You know, that was something he wanted in his life, but he did something that is amazing to me now, because at the time I just took it for granted. I didn't even realize what he was doing, but he decided, and this, he was young. I'm still amazed by this. He decided he wanted to be with me. Mm-hmm. And then whatever came with that, that's what came with that. And he didn't choose me because I was a baby-making machine.
Right.
Though I am. No, I'm just kidding. He chose me.
Clearly.
And then, yeah, he chose me. And then he sort of settled with, then we can make a good life and we can do the things that, you know, like he didn't let that sort of run that decision. So obviously I have four kids. So I had a change of heart at some point, and I was young enough that that didn't matter. When I had that change of heart, I was still fertile enough, and it was not an easy road, as you know. But in the end, like, I'm still amazed by that. And there are days where he's like, so, you know, the kids are a pain. And he's like, we really should have stuck with that original plan. Don't tell the kids.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Of course
but
not.
But there's something about that. That maybe this guy can listen to, which is choose her and choose to build a legacy together and then choose what that looks like together. And it may not include children. Know that that urge is really normal. And you get to choose if you resent it the rest of your life because you didn't do it, or you can choose to have a different way to view it. But now is the time to really have this conversation, because you don't want to get married and then be like, yeah, I secretly really always wanted this and I hate you now.
Well, it's like,
you
know, so many of the conversations we have on this segment are end in that. Like, do it now while the right time is here. You're just going to regret not having the conversation if you wait and get married. And you see so many people falling apart, either divorces or just messy breakups or ugly this or ugly that, just simply because they didn't have this, like, preemptive conversation.
Right. And this, you know, they're 40, which means they have, at least hopefully, have this, some awareness about themselves. Mm-hmm. They have an advantage on one level. It's a disadvantage on another, because being stupid is helpful sometimes to jump into decisions. But, you know, they sort of know themselves, I hope, pretty well by now. And they can, you know, sort of take all this into account, have a really good, honest conversation, make a decision and stick with it. I think, you know, if this is their first marriage, it sounds like it is for both of them.
Right.
You know, this is a fun new adventure, and you haven't done this before, and you know, you shouldn't be good at this, but you should have a little more self-awareness than maybe you do when you're 20.
Yeah.
But both cases, you just have to decide to work at it, and then you work at it. And honesty is your best antiseptic.
Yeah. Honesty is the best policy, except in the way Wendy said it.
Yeah. Antiseptic. I'm mixing metaphors. I think it's sunlight is the best antiseptic.
It's also Johnson thing. We all do that. Dad was famous for it. He would say, early to bed, early to rise, mixed man, go to the thing with the, he just couldn't do it.
Right. The mixed metaphors. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Sure.
It was my dad. He always did that. He always put the horse before the cart, Scott. Dad, that's how it's supposed to go.
Tina said, that's the last straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, there you go. That one's pretty good.
The last straw. The one everyone always says that's, I just couldn't.
The one everyone says wrong is, have your cake and eat it too. Mm. Because you can have your cake and then you can eat it, but you can't eat your cake and have it too.
Yes.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh, that one's broken.
It is broken.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Brian, you have blown Scott's mind.
Wow, me too.
I am embarrassed.
You should be.
Embarrassing.
You should be.
And you know what? Right now in Sweden, in my Swedish class, I represent all things American. So every time I do something stupid, I mean, literally, there's this one row of like, you know, hecklers in the back. They're like, hey, American. I'm like, seriously?
Really?
You cannot call me the American.
That's awesome.
Like class clowns, like picking on the.
Oh, yeah. From Portugal. He's like 20. I want to punch him. No, he's great. But but everyone's got like a stereotype or a list, and he thinks it's so funny. And so he's like, hey, American, what do you guys eat when you, I mean, stuff they all know because everyone knows what stupid Americans do, you know?
Right.
Anyway, it's just
right.
funny.
That's awesome.
But I am now representing, and I'm embarrassed. I didn't know that phrase.
Well, we're here to keep you straight and keep you representing properly. So
yes,
that's
thanks,
our job.
Brian.
Great time to talk to Wendy as always. And if you want to follow her on Instagram, because you can get a lot of really great stuff there. I truly believe this. And Wendy Dunford on Instagram. That's the only social network she is chosen to be a part of. So go follow her there. Wendy, anything else? We good? We're done, I guess. Right? Is she there? Did I lose her? I guess we're literally done.
She just says, yeah, I'm done and bye.
That was it. Are you there?
There she is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Now we can hear you.
That's all right. We were just saying goodbye to you, is all.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say Eric Erickson, which is such a Scandinavian, is the guy who did the stages of development. They're interesting to read for those of you who are sort of wondering what these phases are.
Oh, man. Eric Erickson. That sounds like a Viking. Does he have like red hair?
Does sound awesome, doesn't
giant
it?
Beard. He sounds great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Eric Erickson destroyed our camp. All right.
Erickson.
Have a good week. My best to everyone, even the kids that drive me or you crazy, but we miss them. I miss those kids. They're great. We miss them around here.
I know.
It'll be soon enough. All right. Have fun. We'll see you later. All right. Brian?
Very good.
We're back.
Whoa, yay.
What happened there? Hold on. Oh, good. Phew. I thought the tape just stopped. Tape.
The tape?
Tape.
How are you recording this?
Oh, tape. It's so funny to say tape. All right. That's going to do it for us. Do we have... Cleo,
we don't
the
have
thing?
Cleo. She will. She's gonna try and come in for TMS PM tonight to do points.
That'd be fun.
She's evaluating Eden's school, and there's some kids sick, and she's figuring out a gas leak.
I don't know how she does anything.
Buried the lead, didn't I?
You gas did. Leak. You totally buried the lead. Thanks, HuffPo. That was pretty good. All right. Well, that'll be good. We'll look forward to talking to Carrie tonight, and hopefully everything's going okay. She's a busy mom. We understand. Completely. As always, you can follow us at frogpants.com/TMS if you'd like to vote for us and all of the associated Frog Pants friends and family with their various shows at podcastawards.com. You're encouraged to do that every day. You can vote once per category per day. I assume some people still say they're having where the site tells them they've already voted.
Yeah. Hopefully they get that all worked out.
Yeah. Something's jacked up. But whatever that is, hopefully the votes get through. Like if they have this problem through the entire voting process, who knows what that means?
No kidding.
Anyway, podcastawards.com is where you'd go for that. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. We have a phone number. You can call and leave a voicemail, 801-471-0462. I'm very much looking forward to impressions of things like this.
I'll get back to you.
So get those in.
We should do, I wonder if we should do our next video competition should be taking a segment of that using the audio from the media marketing video, but putting your own new, video to it.
That's a great idea. And if we do that, I will gladly provide MP3 files of each line, whatever people want. It's not, we can capture the whole thing out so you don't have to do that work. You can just use it. So yeah, we'll think about that. That's pretty good. On Twitter, you can find us at Coverville, at Scott Johnson, at Morning Stream. And we are at that part of the show where we're done. Brian, do you have music for us to get out of here?
I do. And well, we heard from him earlier, and he got in a request for his daughter's 5th birthday. Yes, Daryl wrote in and asked for a song for Violet's 5th birthday. Happy birthday, Violet. She is a big fan of all things Frozen. So she loves Frozen, loves the movie, probably runs around in a Disney dress around the house singing like most girls her age are doing. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. There is only one song that ever seems to get covered from the movie Frozen. and it isn't Do You Want to Build a Snowman, sadly.
No. Or we should all be very grateful that it's not that.
Oh, no, no, no. I want a J-Punk version of Do You Want to Build a Snowman.
All right, fair point.
So it is Let It Go. This version is performed by Carrie Ellis. Now, Carrie Ellis, and I believe on this song, it's no different, works with Brian May from Queen a lot. And so you hear his signature guitar in a lot of everything she does. She's a stage performer, so she's got that booming Broadway voice. I think she's even played, I want to say she was in Wicked. She's been in a lot of things. Carrie Ellis, fantastic. From her self-titled album, here is her cover of Let It Go.
Okay. Whoops, that moved the wrong file over. Hold on. Scott can fix that. Not a problem.
Fix that, would
ya? All right, now it's fixed. All right, here it is. We'll be back tonight, TMS PM, 4:30 PM Mountain Time. Be here for that. And we'll do app reviews. We'll have Carrie on, and we'll do our normal weirdness.
Yay.
Thank you all for being here. We'll see you tonight.
For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Yes, I am. This episode of the show is brought to you by our friends at tweakedaudio.com, where you can get fantastic earbuds for any occasion, any color, any style, any of it, a third off. Just use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next pair of fantastic audio earbuds at tweakedaudio.com.